As I began to pray for our church for this year, a number of months ago, and what direction the Lord would want us to go and the emphasis that the Lord would want us to have, I began to come under the burden of faithfulness. And this was about 5 months ago that God began to impress upon me the need for faithfulness in my life, in your life, and the fact that God is faithful, and that is one of the character traits of God that we can imitate. We cannot be omnipresent. We can't imitate God in that form. We're not omnipresent. We cannot be omnipotent. We're not all-powerful. We cannot imitate God in that realm, but we can imitate God in the realm of faithfulness. Faithfulness could be defined by other words such as dependability, reliability, consistency, fidelity, steadfastness, devotion or devoted, true to, constant, loyal, committed, trustworthy, sure. Faithfulness is defined in these words, and these words can be accomplished in our lives. We can grow in faithfulness. The one thing in front of us as a church this year is to study, to learn, and know God's faithfulness, first of all, and then to grow in personal faithfulness in all kinds of areas of life. In our text, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible proclaims the faithfulness of Christ, the faithfulness of God in one part of the verse, and the faithfulness of Moses in the other part of the verse. He points to a faithful God and a faithful people. In fact, the appeal is to holy brethren, to those that are partakers of the heavenly calling, to consider the faithfulness of God and to consider your own personal faithfulness. Look at verse number 5, if you will, of Hebrews chapter 3. The Bible says, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." The expectation of God for the believer is to be faithful, and to be faithful all the way to the end, to hold fast to that confidence that we have. Notice, Moses' testimony was to those who came after him. Do you realize that your growth in faithfulness is a testimony to those who may come after you? You're not just affecting the here and now. You are affecting the future by your faithfulness. Notice the expectation is that we are to hold fast to our confidence. What is the confidence that we are to hold fast to? What is that that we are to be faithful to? Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, back two chapters, and I'll give you and unveil to you who we are to be faithful to. Folks, it's not so much what we are to be faithful to. It is who we are to be faithful to. If we get the who, we will get the what's. If we get the who right. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Who's the verse talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about Christ. The word person there is the same word confidence in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 14. We are to hold fast to our confidence. What is our confidence? It is the person of Christ. That is who we are to be faithful to. My friend, in this year, in this new year, my prayer for our church is that we will grow in our faithfulness to Christ, that we will hold fast to Christ. If we'll get that right, if we'll live with that thought, if that thought will permeate our lives, then the faithfulness to the what's will all come along as we focus on our faithfulness to Christ. I want you to see, first of all, this morning in the message as I preach on gazing and growing in faithfulness, I want you to gaze with me this morning at a faithful God. Faithfulness is one of the characteristics of God. It denotes His firmness, His constancy in His relationship to men, especially with His people. His faithfulness was expressed to the people in the Old Testament through the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenants. His faithfulness is expressed to us today through His promises that we find throughout Scripture. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9 as we gaze upon God's faithfulness this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. The people were reminded, the people were instructed, yea, the people were commanded to know, therefore, that the Lord is a faithful God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keepeth His commandments to a thousand generations. That's a long time to be faithful, my friend. But the Bible says God is faithful. Go to a thousand generations, you'll get the same God, keeping the same word, keeping His promises, keeping His mercy and covenants with those that love Him. I want you to see four areas in which God is faithful this morning. And throughout the year, I'll give you more ways in which God is faithful to us. But this morning, I want you to see one or four. And the first one is the faithfulness of God in salvation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at with me verses 9 through 11. The faithfulness of God in salvation. As Paul is writing these believers at Corinth, he brings their attention to God's faithfulness. Now understand, Corinth is a troubled church. Corinth has a lot of problems. People bearing a lot of burdens, a lot of turmoil, even within the body, amongst one another. And at the outset of his epistle to the Corinthians, he magnifies God's faithfulness. Look at verse number 9, if you will. The Bible says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The context of this verse is interesting. The truth that God is faithful prefaces the truth that we have been called unto fellowship with our Lord and Savior. God is faithful to call today. Do you remember the day that you were called unto salvation? You remember the day that God, through His Word and through the Gospel, worked in your heart and drew you to Himself and said, I want to call you out from the world. I want to save your soul. I want to forgive your sins. I want to give you something to live for. I want to make all things new in your life. I want to take you from dead and make you a living spiritual being that can be used by me for your glory. I want to take you when you were lost and blind. I want to give you sight so that you can see, you can understand me, you can learn of me, you can follow me, you can worship me, you can fellowship with me. Listen, when God called you, that was a special thing. The day He called you unto salvation, He's still calling today. He's still reaching out to a lost person today. There are people, as the choir sang this morning, lost in sin. They have no idea what it means to be in Christ. They have no idea the privileges, the joy, the peace that it brings to be in Christ. They have no idea what it means to be fulfilled in living your life for the Lord every day and talking to Him and Him talking to you and Him answering prayers in your life and Him revealing truth unto you and Him shepherding you and Him being with you in the shadow of death. They have no idea about that. But I say today that Jesus is still reaching out to someone, maybe here this morning, that He wants to save. He's a faithful God. And that He calls us unto salvation. Remember the day that you were called? Maybe it was an emotional day. Maybe you wept tears as you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Maybe it was a day that was leading, God was leading up to in your life. A number of things may be occurring in your life, circumstances that God was calling, He was using to draw you to the Savior. Oh, what a wonderful day. Thank God that He is faithful to call. God hasn't stopped calling. Men are not always faithful, but God is always faithful. He's faithful in salvation. We may let Him down. He'll never let us down. Any failure will be on our side, not His. God is never unfaithful. He is always faithful. Paul was encouraging the believers who had all kinds of problems to turn their eyes on the fact that God is faithful. His faithfulness gives us assurance and confidence concerning our salvation, that He can keep it until that day. Boy, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Not only is He faithful to call us unto salvation, but He's able to keep us until the day that He returns, because He is a faithful God. Philippians chapter 1, God's faithfulness guarantees that what He has begun in our lives, He will carry through to completion. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't get discouraged by a relative that may be strained. Don't get discouraged by somebody that has disappointed you spiritually. Remember, faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. God works through lives. We cannot see all of His working in lives, but God works in lives. If somebody's saved, He's going to continue to work in their lives according to the Scripture. He began a good work in them. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He called us unto salvation, but He called us unto the fellowship of His Son. He loves us. He likes us. He wants to be with us. He wants fellowship with us. Partnership. God wants fellowship with you, Christian. And you know what? He'll be faithful to it. Because God's a faithful God. But notice something else the context of this verse brings to our attention. Look at verse number 10. It says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now watch this. The verse 10 starts with the word now. I've taken you to the point that God is faithful. And God's called you into the fellowship of His Son. Now based upon that truth, I want to address a problem. There was a problem in the church, and the problem was division at the time. It was in the church, and the house of Chloe had reported that. Based upon that fellowship, it can only be maintained if you work towards sameness with others. You can't keep fellowship with God and His Son unless you keep fellowship with the believers. He says, I've called you unto this fellowship, but now I'm going to address something. Your fellowship is broken with me because there are divisions among you. Brethren, as we start out a new year, we must be committed to being faithful in our fellowship with God. And if we're going to be faithful in our fellowship with God, we have to be faithful to work out things among ourselves and be faithful in our fellowship with others. We are to be fit together. Verse number 10, it says the second half of that verse, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Earlier in the verse, that ye all speak the same thing. We are to be fit together. We are to adjust so we fit together. Have you ever tried to put a puzzle together? You don't have all the pieces, and you're trying to see where this puzzle piece fits, but you don't have the frame set up correctly. And so you got to adjust the frame so that you can get the piece on the inside to fit where it needs to fit. As believers, we have to adjust sometimes to one another. We may not be speaking the same thing as somebody else is speaking in the church that is right. We may not be making the same judgment. We may not have the same mind, but those things are important to our fellowship with one another, and they're important to our fellowship with the Son. It is important that we not allow division to fester. It's important that we not allow things in our heart to grow against one another. This hinders the fellowship that Christ wants to have with us. God's faithfulness and salvation and calling us into fellowship with His Son is a motivation to be right with others so that we can enjoy fellowship with Christ. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. He's faithful in salvation. I want you to see the heartbeat in 1 John chapter 1 of the Apostle John and those early believers. Boy, they enjoyed fellowship with the Father. They wrote about it. They wrote about that fellowship, and they enjoyed it so much that they declared it to others so that they could have the same fellowship that they were experiencing with the Father. Write this down if you're taking notes this morning. If you're not in fellowship with the Father, you won't be a very good witness. People that are in fellowship with the Father can't help but declare the gospel to others so that they could have fellowship with the Father. People that are in fellowship with God, they want to talk about it. They want to get other people in on it. It's that big a thing. I've got to tell somebody else about it. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life of Jesus himself. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Declare it. Why declare it? So that we can have fellowship with you. And you can have fellowship with the Father. 3 or 4 weeks ago, we declared it through the Christmas musical. Newton received it. Newton has fellowship with us. He's part of the believers here. He not only has fellowship with us, he can now have fellowship with the Father. That's what Paul was getting at to the church at Corinth. God is faithful, who hath called you unto fellowship with his Son. Boy, he saved you. He called you unto fellowship so that you can bring others into the fellowship, so that you can have fellowship and maintain fellowship with other believers. That's our personal responsibility, brethren. God is faithful in salvation. Secondly, God is faithful in temptation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God is faithful in our salvation, but he's also faithful in temptation. You're familiar with this verse. In fact, probably many of you have this verse memorized, or at least you could paraphrase it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The faithfulness of God is demonstrated in our temptations. Temptations are times in which you and I are put to the test. In other words, when we are tempted, when we are tested, real proof is going to come out as to where we're at with God, as to how strong of a Christian we really are, as to whether or not we'll experience victory in the Christian life. That's what happens when we face a temptation or a test. Have you ever been about to give into temptation or give up on God in the midst of a test? Remember, God is faithful. He is measuring the temptation or test in your life, and he is measuring it so that it won't exceed what he's trained you to be able to overcome. That's the faithfulness of God. Every test, every temptation that comes your way is measured by God so as not to exceed what you can have victory in. You know why? Because God means for you to have victory in every temptation and test. They are growing times. They are stretching times in our lives. They are times in which it's almost a midterm exam, those of you that are in college or those of you that are in high school or school. It's almost that time where he's testing you to see how far you've been able to come in your Christian life. We face those. You may be facing one of those right now. But can I remind you this morning that God is faithful in temptation? God measures what we go through. God's faithfulness is not only to measure our tests and temptations, but then he's faithful to make a way of escape for us. Every temptation, Every trial has an escape route, a way out. Every situation that we face in life has light at the end of the tunnel. Even death itself, for the Christian, has light on the other side. Because God makes a way of escape for everything that we face. Tests, trials, or temptations. Temptations to turn from God. Temptations that would lead us into sin and lead us into a separation relationship with God where we don't have fellowship. I want you to know this morning, God provides a way of escape. Sometimes that way of escape means run from something. Flee. Sometimes it means that. Sometimes that way of escape means I have to fight over something. I have to war to have victory. But every situation that we face in life, God is faithful to make a way of escape. My friend, God is faithful in temptation. Thirdly, God is faithful in forgiveness. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. God is faithful in forgiveness. Again, you know the verse well. We're not starting off the new year with anything grand or new that you've never heard before. But it's drawing our minds to the fact that God is a faithful God. He's faithful in forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's speaking to who? Unsaved or saved here? He's speaking to saved people here. That includes maybe you this morning if you're saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, God's faithfulness and forgiveness for the believer just has one condition. He will forgive every time. He'll forgive on the spot. He'll bring closure to that sin in your life. It just has one condition we have to confess. We have to agree with God about our sin. You know that if you are living with unconfessed sin, you have broken fellowship with God. What he's called you unto with his son is being frustrated by you living and refusing to confess sin in your life. He's faithful to forgive. Every time he's faithful to forgive. Every time you come to him, you may come to him with a sin that's a habitual sin and you're working to get over it and you fall and you get up again and you fall and you get up again and you go to God and you say, God, I failed you in this way again. Lord, I sinned against your word. Lord, I spoke wrongly again. Lord, would you please forgive me? And he'll do it over and over and over again if we'll simply confess. If we'll simply agree with God about that. Some might say, well, I don't feel forgiven. Could it be that you've not confessed? No confession, no forgiveness. God is faithful to forgive. He brings closure to that offense when you ask for forgiveness. He reestablishes fellowship at that moment. He moves forward in his relationship with you, not allowing it to affect his relationship with you when he forgives you, but confession must take place. In Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It's easy to say I'm a sinner. But if confession is to have value, it must state the definite acts of sin. Confession means to say the same thing that God says. I don't believe God looked on David's sin and saw it in general terms. I believe he could look on David's sin and see it specifically. You violated one of the Ten Commandments. You committed adultery, David. David, you need to confess that before me. And when David confessed it, God forgave him. I don't believe he looked on Adam's excuses for his sin and said the same thing. Well, Adam, you are right. Eve kind of did give you a piece of the fruit. I believe that he demanded from Adam to say, Adam, for Adam to say, God, it was my fault. I made a personal choice to violate the law that you gave me. God, I need your forgiveness. I believe that that's what was demanded in order for God to forgive him. Confession is when you bring your sin before a holy God without any excuses, admitting and agreeing before God that it is sin. It is a trespass. It is an iniquity that has separated you from God. It is you missing the mark. You admit crossing the line of God's boundaries and God's laws and commands and His principles. Lord, I violated your principle in your word. Lord, I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Could it be said of your life that regarding a specific confession of sin, it's been a long time since you got before God and confessed something specifically? Listen, God's faithful to forgive, but He doesn't forgive people that don't confess. It demands confession. In your life, a good daily habit as part of your prayer time would be, Lord, search me. God, I didn't behave right yesterday. I didn't tell the whole truth. Lord, forgive me. God, I didn't obey Mom yesterday. She told me to do something, I didn't do it. Lord, that's disobedience. Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Lord, I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at yesterday. And Lord, I took a second look. Lord, it wasn't right. Lord, I listened to things at work yesterday, words that I shouldn't have listened to. I should have left that conversation, Lord. Lord, would you forgive me? And brethren, the list could go on and on. Truth is, we're not getting forgiveness from God because we're not confessing sin to God. God's faithful to forgive. You come unto God, you ought to be upset about your sin, remorseful, repentant. A great way to start off the new year is to take advantage of the gift of forgiveness as a believer by confessing known sin to the Lord. The great gift of forgiveness is always ready to be given by God. But the cry of confession must precede the gift of forgiveness. Not only is God faithful in salvation, temptation, forgiveness, but He's also faithful in compassions. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 records the grief of a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. This is recorded after his nation and the city Jerusalem fell to Babylon in 586 BC. God is faithful. If the people would learn their lesson, repent and seek God, they would find hope and the help that they need. Jeremiah did not choose to stay in despair or wallow in self-pity. Rather, having poured out his sorrows, he chose to think about God and His faithfulness in compassion. I want you to see the verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Can I give you this thought this morning? If you will gaze upon a faithful God, it will keep your hope-o-meter up. I just created a new word. You know, prior to this, if you read the verses prior to this, you will find that Jeremiah's hope was tanking. It was going down, and it was going down quick. But as soon as he turned his eyes upon the Lord, began to see God's faithfulness, all of a sudden that hopeometer that had about hit empty was beginning to fill back up rapidly. Because he took time to gaze upon God's faithfulness. Gazing upon a God that is faithful in compassion will keep your heart tender towards God. Why are you still living today? Because God is merciful, compassionate, new every morning. It's like you wake up one morning, if you're the children of Israel, and manna is on the ground. Whoa, this is a new thing. We're supposed to eat this stuff? They eat it. And then they go through the rest of their day, go to bed, wake up in the morning. Oh, there's new manna on the ground. Oh, he's not even asking us to eat the leftovers. God's providing it new every day, year after year, for the children of Israel, the manna just kept a-coming. And I tell you, according to the scriptures, the compassions just keep coming. The mercies of God just keep coming. They're new every morning, the Bible says. Great is His faithfulness in the fact that His mercies are new to us every morning. God's blessings come in a buffet. They come day after day, my friend. Rejoice today. Have hope today. God's compassions fail not. They're new every morning. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God will be there tomorrow. Whatever you face tomorrow, God will be there. So we've looked at a faithful God. I want to look at a faithful people as I close the message and give you some vision for this year in our church. A faithful people. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." While the godly men cease being godly and the faithful fail among the children of men, the vilest men are exalted and the wicked walk on every side. We see this taking place in our own nation. But could I say this morning to our young couples, to those that are bringing up children, could I say this morning? One generation of godly, faithful parents could change the course of the United States for the next 100 years. Just one generation of couples that would be faithful to God and raise faithful children before God could change our nation. The psalmist was speaking with great intensity here. Because children of men, probably men that were faithful, had become unfaithful. They had failed in faithfulness. They had failed in devotion to God, in commitment, in reliability and dependability and steadfastness. They had failed in that. The psalmist is writing, he's given a commentary of his day, and he's saying there were some men that were faithful. There were some people that carried the torch. There were some people that were devoted to Christ. But the children of men are failing. That torch is not being carried. And the national results were devastating. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, the Bible asks a question at the end of the verse, "But a faithful man who can find?" Faithful men and women are a dying breed. They were a dying breed in that day. Could I ask you, are you known for being faithful? Whatever you give yourself to, are you known for being faithful? If everyone were as faithful as you are to devotions, to obeying the Lord when He speaks to you, to attending church, to giving your tithes and offerings, to living out the doctrine and teaching of the Bible, what would the church look like? If I was as faithful to the workplace as I am to my church, what kind of shape would my place of employment be in? Would it be able to continue to operate? Or would it have to close down due to lack of employee participation? Faithful church members are failing from among the children of men. Faithful marriages are becoming more rare. Between adultery, pornography, chat rooms, emotional attachments to someone outside of marriage, faithful marriages are failing among the children of men. Faithful friend is not easy to come by today. A faithful spirit is a rare find. Somebody that has a faithful spirit. Faithfulness and personal devotions and daily Bible study keep many, or unfaithfulness to these things, keep many believers from being godly. Faithfulness and honoring parents is a rare principle that young people practice consistently. Faithfulness to outreach is dying in many believers' lives. Faithfulness to church attendance is going down as absentees are growing and regulars are becoming less and less. Faithfulness is lacking. Recently, I heard of a young convert who saw church services as bricks. He said this, and I quote, "I feel like I am building a wall in my life to defend me against the attack of the devil, and every service I receive another brick for my wall. Whenever I miss a service, I feel like I have missed an important brick. And if I miss too many, I will have a bunch of holes in my wall that the devil will be able to shoot his fiery darts through." What a picture. Yes, you can and should read your Bible to grow. And yes, you can pray on your own. But there is something extra that we receive from being at church, around His people, under the preaching of His Word, that we do not get on our own. If you are unfaithful, then you become unusable to God. My life verse is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, where Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus my Lord for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Before Paul was put into the ministry, he was counted faithful. Faithfulness is important to the Lord. You realize that your faithfulness is a testimony to others, beginning with your family, or your lack of faithfulness is a testimony as well. Then your neighbors. Then other Christians. Then your boss. Your faithfulness or lack of it is a testimony. What kind of testimony is it? God's a faithful God. We are His people. We ought to be a faithful people. Your testimony is affected by your faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Do you realize your faithfulness is an encouragement to others, or it is a discouragement, your unfaithfulness to others? In fact, the Bible says an unfaithful man is like a broken foot and a tooth, or a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Broken teeth are not fun to deal with, and a foot out of joint is extremely painful. And the Bible describes an unfaithful person as that. You're affecting others' lives by your faithfulness. Your faithfulness can be an encouragement to others. When you're faithful, you can be used by God. This year at Mount Zion, we will be filled with regular booster shots on faithfulness. It is one thing that we ought to follow after. We'll deal with faithfulness in church attendance. We'll deal with faithfulness in scripture memory. We'll deal with faithfulness in witnessing, a faithful spirit, a faithful friend, faithfulness in outreach, faithfulness to the church covenant and its policies, faithfulness in marriage, faithfulness in integrity and truth, in honoring parents, in our minds, in our home, in the word, in giving, in direction, in obedience, in punctuality, in heart. There's a lot that we need to be faithful in. God is looking for a faithful people. Faithfulness is lacking, but faithfulness is linked. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 20. A faithful man, the Bible says, shall abound with blessings. A person who can be trusted will receive many rewards. God rewards the plotter. You say, "Preacher, what's the plotter? The plotter is just every day, gets up, got my spiritual duties to do before the Lord. I'm going to give myself to that. Got my role to fill as a father, as a husband, as a worker. Got a fellowship to have with my Lord. Got a certain way my life's got to be lived for Christ." It's January the 7th. Next day, same thing. January the 8th. Just plodding. Not up and down, not inconsistent, just faithful. "Oh, it's church, it's Wednesday night. Oh, I know where I'm supposed to be. I know what God's Word says." Plod. "Oh, God, You put somebody in front of me to witness. Lord, I know I want to be faithful to the gospel. I got to talk to that person." Just plod. You know what's going to happen someday? Someday you and I are going to stand before God. Stand at the judgment seat of God. And according to the scriptures, everything I can take from the scriptures or extract from the scriptures, we are going to be judged on faithfulness. In the New Testament, He gives a parallel of judgment or a parable of judgment. And He said to the one servant, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The way to be richly blessed is not by playing the lottery, but by being faithful. The way to be richly blessed is not to pursue a get-rich-quick scheme, but rather by committing yourself to be faithful to God. Faithful. Day in and day out. Faithful. Oh, Christian, keep your priorities right. Beware of becoming unfaithful to the God that called you to the God that saved you. Antipas was faithful in Revelation 2, and he was faithful until he was killed, until he was martyred for Christ. His reputation in the Scriptures is a faithful martyr. You know, it is doubtful that anybody here will be asked to be faithful unto martyrdom in 2018. But it is expected of every believer here to be faithful to God. This year, our theme is a faithful God, a faithful people. A week from now, next Sunday, I'll give you a booklet. The booklet will have in all the different things that are taking place this year in our church, calendar items, things that are exciting, a journal where you can journal God's faithfulness to you, and a journal where you can write down where you have committed to be faithful to God in some area, and areas in which you've grown in faithfulness. On the back of the booklet, there's a list of 50 verses. All the verses dealing either with the faithfulness of God or the faithfulness of His people to God. We're going to encourage you to find a partner in the church this year, an accountability partner. We'd like to see 100% participation in this, where you work with somebody on a Wednesday or a Sunday night to say, recite the verse on faithfulness that's dedicated for that week, so that you are renewing your minds with 50 verses throughout the year on God's faithfulness and God's expectation of your faithfulness. You'll get all that next week. This, our camp theme this year is a military theme, Semper Fi, which means what, Lonnie? Always faithful. Our missions conference this year, the theme is a failing world, but a faithful church. We're going to stress it throughout the year in every facet. Scripture memorization, you'll have an opportunity to become faithful in. This year, we have Brother Coomer coming in for a counseling conference on Tuesday through Friday in the month of March. And that is to help you in your spiritual life. You can sign up for that. You can register for that. It has been life-changing for many that have been a part of that. And I had this plan about 2 years ago to bring him in so that you could get for 3 or 4 days very intense scriptural training in how to handle the issues of life. How to respond to God, how to help others. We'll be having that in March. In addition, we are beginning ladies' Bible studies in homes. They will take place 3 times this year. In February, we will have 2 Bible studies, one on a Tuesday morning and one on a Thursday night of the same week. So if you can't go to a morning one, you can get to the evening one. And then we have 2 other times throughout the year. I believe the other's in June and maybe in September. It will be in the booklet. The dates are all in there. But again, we are to gather together so much the more as we see the day approaching with spiritual purpose. And so, ladies, you have the opportunity to be in some home Bible studies, learn the Word of God together. I believe there's a book that's going to they're going to use for that. You'll get a copy of that. And a time of fellowship together with the Word of God as the centerpiece. We're working right now to put a team missions trip together this year. And though those specifics are not in order yet, we believe they will soon be in order, be able to give information to you about that. It's possible we could purchase a set of handbells this year and begin a handbells choir in addition to our hand chimes choir. We've been putting money back for that for the last couple of years. At the beginning of this year, we'll put another $1,000 back. And if we can find a good deal, we will purchase a set of handbells and have more opportunity for people to serve and use music for the glory of God. In addition to that, we will be working to install a new fire alarm system, a new security camera system. In the spring, we hope to repave all of our parking lots and reline them. We have much in the tank for this year. We have a couples retreat we're planning for the fall to encourage and strengthen our couples in our church, our marriages. And I just want to challenge you this morning. We all need to grow in faithfulness. We're going to gaze on God's faithfulness. And I hope this year that individually we will grow in personal faithfulness in multiple areas of our lives. That God would be able to look down at Mount Zion Baptist Church and say, boy, there is a church that is seeking to be faithful to me. God help us as we go in this direction.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.